Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 342. 342 in the page 315 of your hymn book. The King of Love, my shepherd is, his goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. A wonderful hymn of praise, reminding us of the goodness and the grace, that unfailing grace and mercy to his people and to his children. 342, standing as we sing. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence, O God, tonight through the precious name of thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the one who died for us upon the cross, who rose again victorious for us. And Father, we thank thee that tonight we can rejoice in Christ, the Good Shepherd of the sheep. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for his atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. We rejoice, O God, in that finished work, that Christ died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee for that access that we have, that we can draw nigh to thee and we can call thee Abba, our Father, none daring to make us afraid. And we thank thee, O God, even for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing tonight as thy people. We thank thee, Lord, that we can rejoice in the goodness and in the mercy and in the grace of our God. That goodness and mercy that fails not, that is our portion all the days of our life. And Father, we thank thee that thou dost give a cup that is full and running over to meet our needs day by day as the people of God. And, O God, our Father, as we come before thee this night with thanksgiving in our hearts, we do confess our sins before thee, And we pray for that fresh cleansing in the Saviour's blood, and prepare our hearts this night to meet with Thee around Thy word, O God, and around the throne of grace and prayer. We do thank Thee for all who have been able to gather with us here tonight. And Father, we pray that Thou would just bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every home and family and household, O God, that is represented. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless each one as Thou would see our needs by Thy grace and by Thy power and by Thy strength, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt lead us on with Thyself as Thy people, and draw us closer, Lord, to Thee, and help us to be conformed more and more unto the image of our Saviour, the one who loved us and who gave Himself for us upon the cross. Bless our homes and bless our families. Do unite our family circles in the Lord. And grant that Thy blessing, O God, would be upon each one. That blessing, O God, of household salvation, we pray. Again, Lord, we think of those who may be joining with us also tonight online. Whoever they are, wherever their needs, wherever they are found, and whatever their circumstances might be, the Lord bless them and minister to them out of Thy riches, O God, and glory, by Thy grace and by Thy power. And for any, Lord, who cannot be with us tonight because of age, sickness, or infirmity, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt minister to them by the mighty grace and by the power of God divine. Remember others tonight who have suffered loss in recent times. Comfort them, strengthen them, and sustain them, we pray. And others who perhaps cannot attend tonight because of works of necessity and mercy, we pray that Thou wilt bless them and minister to them also by the grace of God divine. We thank Thee for the meeting tonight already in Fresno, and for all the boys and girls who have heard Thy word. And Lord, may that word live on in their hearts many days, bring forth much fruit, even unto salvation in these young lives, we pray. And Father, for those that have trusted Thee, bless them and lead them on in their Christian life, O God, we ask. Father, bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, and gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Remember the mission especially down there in Londonderry tonight. Bless Your servants as they labor in the gospel meetings there this week. Gather in the unsaved from around that district, we pray, and give them souls for their hire. And Lord, visit there with Thy so great salvation, we ask. Father, just bless us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with Yourself. Give us a blessed time tonight around Thy word. Do speak to us, and around the throne of grace and prayer. Help us, Lord, to pray. And Lord, give us that spirit of prayer, of grace, of supplication. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast promised that it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. Help us tonight to seek Thee with all of our heart and with all of our soul. For Lord, Thou hast promised that Thou wilt be found of us. Again, Lord, we give Thee thanks for the meetings last Lord's Day, and for all whom Thou didst bring in under the sound of Thy word, especially those that were in unsaved out of Christ. And Father, we do pray that Thou wouldst speak on to them, even by the still small voice of God, and that Thou wouldst save them and draw them to Yourself for salvation. Bless us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good tonight. Glorify the Saviour, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 403. The hymn number 403, on the page 339. There's peace in my heart that the world never give, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come there to stay. The hymn number 403. Hands up, who knows this hymn? Well, I suppose we're all in this together. One or two knows it. Well, we'll not ask you to do a solo or a duet, but maybe we'll ask our sister, maybe to. It has been requested, and again, if there's a hymn you'd like us to sing sometime, some hymns we don't sing, and if there's a hymn that you'd like us to sing or attempt, let me know, and we'll do our best to accommodate you in the prayer meeting. It's always good to learn new hymns, and maybe hymns that we haven't maybe sung in the past. But we'll ask our sister, Ruth, just maybe to play the the opening verse and chorus. We'll just listen to that. If you want to hum along, well, you do that, get your tune in the head. And then after that, we'll stand and we'll sing the hymn through in its entirety. Lovely old hymn, great words of truth and encouragement to the Christian. The chorus is there, constantly abiding. Jesus is mine, constantly abiding, rapture divine. He'll never leave me lonely, whispers oh so kind. I'll never leave thee, and Jesus is mine. So ask your sister just to pray through the opening verse and the chorus, and then we'll stand as we sing. Go. It's a nice, easy tune, and we'll stand as we sing. We always can sing better, I think, when we're standing. 403, standing as we sing. There's a peace in my heart. Thank you. but we didn't do so bad in that. And good words of encouragement there to the believer and to the child of God. And it's always good to learn a new hymn and to sing out the praises of the Lord. How important it is just to praise the Lord and to sing the praises of our Saviour day by day. And hymn singing, we might take it for granting, and the singing of psalms and paraphrases, but it's a vital part of our worship to the Lord to sing out the praises of the Saviour. Thank our sister for playing that as well. We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Hosea. Hosea, one of the minor prophets after the book of Daniel, you come to the book of Hosea. And we're turning to Hosea chapter 14, to the last chapter of the book of Hosea, reading the chapter through, beginning at verse 1. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who've been able to gather with us. We pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Do remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, 8 o'clock. And Friday night, the youth fellowship. And then Sunday school on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and Bible class. Morning worship service, 12 noon. We belong to Bring God's Word. And then do remember, please, the special testimony meeting on the Lord's Day evening at 7 p.m. Our brother, Mr. Gregory Gibson, will be long to testify. As we've mentioned, our brother was born a Roman Catholic and then in his student days come under the sound of the gospel and was saved by God's grace. And now in the Whitfield College of the Bible, preparing for full-time Christian service. So do make that known. There will be invites there. I encourage you to take those, give them out, and invite friends and family along. And do all you can to invite others in under the sound of God's Word. And our sister, Mrs. McClintock, as well, God willing, will be with us to sing on the Lord's Day evening. Our brother Keith has just also asked me to mention, if you have any old gospel CDs or DVDs in the house that you're not using, that's preaching ones, do pass them on to our brother as he gives them out with the farming calendars around the March over the Christmas season. So do remember that also, please. Hosea chapter 14 and the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. Hosea chapter 14 and the verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves off our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse 9, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his infallible and eternal word to all our hearts. The little text of scripture one is just to focus our minds upon, even before we get down to prayer, are the opening words there of verse number 5 of Hosea chapter 14. The Lord here is speaking, and he says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. Now our text here really is a promise of the Lord's blessing, and a promise really of the Lord's reviving grace to ancient Israel upon their return to the Lord. You'll see that in their return to the Lord, Israel were to confess their sins to the Lord. You see that in verse 2 of the chapter, where it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Also, in returning to the Lord, Israel were not to confide in self or in man, but rather they were to depend upon the Lord alone for his help and for his blessing. And you see that in what is said there in verse 3 of the chapter, where Israel says, Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. And then in reference to the Lord himself, they say, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And there they acknowledge that their help and blessing is found in the Lord alone. And in returning to the Lord, they have the promise of the Lord's restoration. You see that in verse 4 of the chapter. The Lord says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from. And then following on from that, the Lord gives them this wonderful promise of his reviving grace there in the opening words of verse number 5 of the chapter. He says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. Now, just as Israel in the day of the prophet Hosea needed God's reviving grace, so this need applies to you and I also who are believers in Christ tonight. Yes, as part of God's church, we need God's reviving grace. Yes, the constant prayer of many Christians today is to the Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And there it is, but an acknowledgement of the Lord's reviving grace. And just as God's people in the day of Hosea needed the Lord's reviving grace, so you and I also need the Lord's reviving grace. And that being the case, I want us then just to consider this promise from the Lord of reviving grace. When he says to our hearts tonight through this little text, I will be as the dew unto Israel. First of all, I want you to see here that this promise reminds us of how it is the Lord alone who can refresh the souls of his people. He says there, I will be as the dew unto Israel. Yes, in the warm climate of the Middle East, the dew, it cools the ground. The dew, it refreshes the ground. And likewise, by his reviving grace, the Lord is one who can refresh our souls as his people in the fiery trials and in the battles of life. You think of the words of the psalmist David in Psalm 138 as he addresses the Lord. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me even in a time of need. He spoke of God's reviving grace in his soul. Dear believer, tonight when you and I are feeling, yes, the heat of the day, in the battles of life, and in the trials of life, the Lord is the one who can refresh our souls as his people. Refresh our souls with a sense of his love in our hearts. Refresh our souls with tokens of his favor and mercies towards us as the people of God. You think, believer, of what the Lord says to you and I as his children in the book of Jeremiah. He says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. There he tells us that his love toward us is eternal. It is unchanging. Indeed, the hymn writer could say, there is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade nor fall. How wonderful the love of Christ is to us as his people. And then again, think of what the Lord says to you and I as his people in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And there he promises to be with us, even in the trials and the difficulties of life. He is there, near to hand for us as his people and as his children. You turn with me back, please, to Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40, and go down to the very last verse of that psalm, Psalm number 40 and verse number 17. Notice there the words of the psalmist and his acknowledgement of the Lord being his help. He says, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And there he acknowledges the Lord to be his help in his time of great need and time of great difficulty. He says, Thou art my help and my deliverer. And child of God, I would encourage you tonight in all the ups and downs of life, think much upon the Lord's love to you as his child and his love to you and to your soul. Think much upon the Lord's presence with you as his child. Think much upon the Lord's help toward you, that help that is always at hand, he who is a present help to his people. And in doing so, child of God, you'll find your soul being refreshed, being revived by the grace of God. Yes, this promise reminds us of how the Lord can refresh the souls of his people. But then in the second place, we can say further tonight that this promise reminds us of how the Lord can soften the hearts of his people. The Lord says there in our text, he says, I will be, he says, as the dew unto Israel. And again, in the warm Middle Eastern climate, it's the dew that softens the ground. It's the dew that softens the clods on the earth. And likewise, it is God's reviving grace that keeps the hearts of his own redeemed people soft and pliable, as it were, before the Lord. Believer, whenever the Lord saved you and I, it was his grace that softened our hearts. It was the grace of God that softened our hearts. It was the grace of God that drew you and I to that place of repentance toward God and that place of faith in Christ. The hymn writer could say about his own salvation and the Lord's dealing with him, he said, my hardened heart was touched, and that is how it was with you and I also. By his grace, he softened our hearts, our hardened hearts, and he drew us to that place of repentance and faith in Christ. You go back to Hosea chapter 11, just turn back a little bit there in your Bible, verse number 4, you'll see how the Lord speaks of this very fact and the life of his children and their conversion and their salvation. He says, I drew them with cords of a man and with bands of love. And it speaks of the Lord drawing his people, drawing the hearts of his people out after himself, even in salvation. Again, you think of the words of the hymn writer, speaking of what the Lord did for them in salvation. How the Lord softened their heart. The hymn writer said of the Lord, he drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess his voice divine. And child of God, can I say, yes, if God is to bless us and if God is to use us as his people, then it is vital that our hearts as Christians remain soft, that our hearts as Christians remain pliable and sensitive to the Lord, to the Lord's word, and indeed to the promptings and the leadings of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our soul. This is something that is vital in our life as Christians. Now, one of the marks of this evil world is hardness of heart. Sin hardens hearts. Sin causes hearts to grow cold and callous. Paul warned Timothy of that very fact in his life and ministry. And he said to Timothy, as a young Christian, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Again, think of the words of the apostle to the Hebrew believers. He said, beware lest any of you be hardened, he says, through the deceitfulness of sin. And sin hardens hearts. It calluses hearts. It causes hearts to grow cold. And as believers in Christ, we must ever be careful that same hard spirit does not rub off upon us as God's people and as God's children. Therefore, daily as believers, we need to pray that God would keep our hearts soft to his voice, soft to his word, pliable before the Lord and sensitive to his leadings, to his promptings, to the leadings and the guidings of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hence, we need to pray that,
that God would ever keep our hearts soft by His reviving grace in our souls day by day as Christians. This was the testimony of Job. Job 23, verse 16, Job could say, "For God maketh my heart soft." Job's heart was softened by the Lord as a believer, as a child of God, and how vital that is in this age in which we live, that our hearts remain soft and pliable and yielded to the Lord and to the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. But then we can say in the third place tonight, in connection with our text, that this promise reminds us of how the Lord can make His people fruitful in their Christian life. In our text, the Lord says there, "I will be as the dew unto Israel." And again, in the Middle Eastern climate, the dew, it prepares the ground for seed, and it causes that same seed to germinate and to grow and to bring forth fruit eventually. And so the Lord, by His reviving grace, can make us fruitful in our Christian life and in our service for God. Yes, by His grace, He can cause us to grow in our faith. Look again at what is said there following on from our text in verse 5 of this chapter. The Lord says, "I will be as the dew unto Israel." Notice it. "And he shall grow as the..." That speaks of growth, advancing in the faith. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said these words to them. He says, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." Their faith was advancing, growing, going forward. That was as a result of God's grace in their life. Also, by His grace, the Lord can cause us as His people to be stable and to be steadfast in the things of God in this evil world. And again, you see that thought portrayed there at the end of verse 5. Where the Lord says, "I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily." And then notice these words, "and cast forth his roots," it says there, "as the Lebanon." And the reference there to the Lebanon is a reference to the tree, the cedar of Lebanon. A tree that is very strong. A tree that can withstand ferocious storms and winds. And the thought here is that the Lord, by His reviving grace, coming and strengthening and establishing His people, even in the storms and the battles and trials of life. Again, that was how it was in the life of the Apostle Paul. For he could say, writing to Timothy, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Indeed, his own counsel to young Timothy was this: "Timothy, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's through God's grace that we are established and strengthened. Also, by His grace, the Lord can use us for the extension of His kingdom, for the advancing of the gospel. And again, you have that thought coming out in the beginning of verse 6 of the chapter, following on from our text, where it says, "His branches shall spread." The thought there is of the tree growing, advancing, and going forward. And the thought there is in the gospel, in the church of Christ, that it is through God's grace that the church spreads. The church increases, the church advances, and by its influence others are saved and brought into the family and the kingdom of God. Again, that is how it was in the early New Testament church. Turn with me in your Bible over to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And you just go down to the last two verses of that chapter, and you'll see how this was so in the early New Testament church. It says in verse 46, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." There was an advancing. This was the early New Testament church. Just really a mere handful of despised people, despised by the world. Yet through the Lord's grace and the Lord's reviving power amongst them, the Lord gave them favor with others. Others were saved and brought into the family and into the fold of God. And that's what the Lord's reviving grace can do for you and I and for His church today. Yes, despised by the world, mocked by the world, maybe ridiculed and laughed at by the world. Yet the Lord can use you and I, use His people and His church for the extension of His kingdom, and for the salvation of souls and the gathering of others into the family and fold of God. Also, we can say further tonight, also by His grace, the Lord can cause us as His people to die to self and to die to sin, and can enable us to show forth more of the beauty of Christ and more of the sweetness of Christ in our lives as God's people. And again, you have that thought there portrayed, following on from our text in the passage there in the latter part of verse 6 of the chapter, where it says, "And His beauty shall be as the olive tree, and His smell as the Lebanon." Why is the olive tree described there as beautiful? It's beautiful because it's evergreen. It's beautiful because it bears the fruit of the olive. And again, why is the smell of Lebanon there beautiful? Well, again, the reference is there to the cedar of Lebanon. And it gives off a sweet scent from its foliage and from its cones. There's a rich, sweet perfume from it. And the thought there is, by God's grace, He causes His people to show forth Christ, the beauty of Christ, the glory of Christ in their lives. Again, that is how it was with Peter and John. Just fishermen saved by the grace of God, serving the Lord. Yet what does the Bible say about them? It says that the ungodly took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. That was due to the grace of God in their life. The mark of grace was upon them. And they showed forth the beauty of Christ. Due to God's grace, they showed forth Christ to others. Turning your Bible with me over to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And you go down to verse 22 and verse 23 there of the chapter. And here we read about the fruit of the Spirit in the life of God's people. And this fruit is produced by God's grace, the reviving grace of God in the life of His people. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance," that means self-control. "Against such there is no law." Now that's the work of grace in the life of His people, in the life of His children. Not something that is worked up by self-effort or by the flesh or by anything of man, no. But by the grace of God. In our text tonight, the Lord says, "I will be," He says, "as the Jew unto Israel." Brethren and sisters in Christ, it's important that daily you and I, that we spend time with the Lord in prayer. Indeed, that we plead this very promise that we're looking at tonight when the Lord says, "I will be as the Jew unto Israel," that we plead this promise and we pray and we ask the Lord for more grace in our lives as Christians, more grace to grow in our faith, more grace to be steadfast in our faith, more grace to reach out to others with the gospel, and indeed, more grace to be more like Christ and to show forth more of Christ in our lives day by day. That was ever the burden of the hymn writer. The hymn writer could say, "More of His grace to others shown." We should always be wanting as Christians as we go on in our life to die more and more to self, to sin, and to show forth more and more of Christ and His grace to others by His grace in our lives. Notice one final thought here in connection with our text tonight, and that is this, that this promise, it reminds us of how the Lord can quicken His people when they most need Him. Our text says here, the Lord is speaking to His people, "I will be," He says, "as the Jew unto Israel." In the Middle East, the dew falls in the evening time, whenever it is most needed. After the intense heat of the daytime sun. And likewise, the Lord, yes, can come to our souls with quickening power as His people, with reviving grace when we most need Him as His people, when we most need Him as His church. In the context here of this chapter, Israel were returning to the Lord. It was a time when they needed Him afresh in their lives and His power and grace afresh in their lives and all their witness and their service to the Lord. Hence the Lord comes to them with this promise and He says, I will be as the Jew unto Israel. And the thought here is that the Lord comes to His people's aid when they most need Him as His children. Again, you think of the words of the prophet Micah. He could say, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. When he most needed the Lord would come to him to be his light, to be his strength, and to be his stay. Likewise, brethren and sisters in Christ, when we need the Lord promises to draw near with his quickening power. In the book of Isaiah, it speaks of the Lord to his people, and Isaiah says, he shall appear, it says, to your joy. Oh, dear believer in Christ, do you feel your need tonight of the Lord's help, the Lord's blessing in your life, in your service for God? Then, believer, pray. Seek God. Seek His reviving grace in your heart and in your soul. And, believer, you'll not be disappointed. You'll not, as it were, go away empty-handed from the Lord, no. Turn your Bible back to Jeremiah chapter number 33. Jeremiah chapter number 33. Look at this great promise. Jeremiah 33 and the verse number 3. Look at what the Lord says. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. The promise is there, if we call upon the Lord for reviving grace, the Lord says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Lord will not disappoint or turn away our prayers or our petitions. Turn back again to Jeremiah chapter 29 and you'll see again the same promise. Look at verse 13 and verse number 14 of the chapter there. Notice what it says. The Lord here is speaking to His children, to you and I who are saved, and He says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and will gather you from all nations, from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captives. And the thought was there that the Lord would come again and bless His people, revive His people in response to their prayers and their seeking of Him in the throne of grace. And likewise, that's His promise tonight, dear believer, to you and I. The Lord says, I will be found of you if you seek me. I will not turn away. He says, seek me and search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. The hymn writer speaks of the Lord. And the hymn writer says, just the time I need Him, He's always near. That's the Lord's promise to His people. That's the Lord's promise to His church. This was the Lord's promise to His ancient people. In the day of Hosea, He says, I will be as the Jew unto Israel. And child of God, this is the Lord's promise to you and I tonight as His people. Let us seek Him. Let us call upon Him. Let us plead this promise before Him that He would come and revive in grace to our hearts and to our souls as the people of God. May God bless His word and write these truths upon our hearts and our souls tonight. Well, turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 640. 640 and the page 434. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. 640, we'll stand as we sing. Let us stand.
Amen.